Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Life has been described as an endless search for freedom. Think about how that might manifest itself during the different stages of life. A child might want to be free from the disadvantages of being small and relatively weak and being restricted by all the rules that have been set for him or her at home and at school. And that becomes even more pronounced and intense during the teenage years and sometimes explodes into rebellious actions and words. Later on, young adults move out of their parents' homes so that they can have more freedom and independence. And then as adulthood is reached, the most productive years of our lives often are spent in searching for goals of financial security and freedom and independence, including such things as owning your own home and having sound investments and life insurance policies and retirement plans. And then later on in life, retirees perhaps yearn for freedom from boredom that comes from suddenly having so much time on your hands and not knowing what to do with it all, unless your minds and hands are kept occupied with something productive or interesting to do. Such kinds of bondage are simply part of being human and of living in this world that is full of uncertainty. Yet our Lord Jesus boldly promises freedom that not only makes all of these things in life bearable, but that also fills our lives with peace and with joy. The real chains that bind us, those chains that we cannot see, are broken by Jesus our Savior, and life becomes an opportunity that we are given from God, rather than a duty to be carried out slavishly. So what is it that changes all of that? Jesus tells us that it's the truth that makes that change for us in how we view our lives. He says, the truth will set you free. We know that we're in great need of this truth because both our temporal life on this earth and our eternal life, our eternal welfare, is at stake. On this Reformation Sunday, we recall Martin Luther's own search for truth and freedom. As a young man, because Luther did not understand the truth of God's love, his days and his nights were spent in vain pursuit of personal holiness and good works. Now, the truth was that all of his sins had already been fully paid for by Jesus' death on the cross, and that Jesus' righteousness had already been fully credited to Luther through faith in Jesus. Because Luther did not understand that truth, he sought other ways of accomplishing for himself what Jesus had already accomplished for him. So having a crisis of faith and being in fear and terror of God's wrath and judgment on him for his sins, Luther made the decision to become a monk. He sold all of his earthly possessions, and he entered into a monastery, secluded from all he thought of the sin and temptation of the world around him. And in the monastery, he would often spend hours a day in private confession, meticulously listing all of his sins, or at least all of his sins that he could remember. And his conscience was plagued by the thought that there were some sins that he couldn't remember, and therefore the wrath and judgment of God would still remain upon him because of those sins that he had forgotten to confess to his confessor priest. He also inflicted suffering upon his body, feeling that that would also earn God's favor, as the monks often did, using a whip to lash himself, fasting to the point of causing himself long-term physical side effects as a result. His hope was that through these inflictions of pain on his own body, that maybe, just maybe, God would have mercy on him instead of sending him to hell for eternity, which he knew that he deserved because of his sins. Now, although we know that young Martin Luther was wrong about the solution for sin, yet he was correct in his understanding of the seriousness of sin, that sin makes us slaves, and that sin separates us from the love of God and ultimately from eternal life with God. However, as we see in our reading today from John chapter 8, the Jews of Jesus' day did not understand the seriousness of the problem of sin as Luther did. When Jesus told them that the truth would set them free, the Jews of Jesus' day understood that Jesus was telling them, he was implying, that they were not really free, that they needed to be set free from something that was enslaving them. And they protested this idea, saying, "We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves of anyone. So how can you say you will be set free?" If you remember what we just read about in our other Bible readings for today, you'll notice that in their response, those Jews were perhaps deliberately forgetting the 400 years of slavery that Abraham's descendants had suffered in Egypt until God sent Moses to lead them out of that slavery in Egypt and into the promised land. And they were also deliberately forgetting all of those other times throughout Israel's history when God had sent neighboring, unbelieving nations in to conquer his people, to show them that they were going astray and they were disobeying God's will by worshiping false gods. Those Jewish people were deliberately forgetting all of those times when they had been enslaved. And even at that present time in which they were speaking, God had used the Roman Empire to conquer the Jewish homeland of Israel, of Canaan, and to bring them under subjugation so that they were not able to fully obey all of those laws that God had given his people in the Old Testament. And aside from those political, physical realities, it's not even to mention the reality of their spiritual condition, of being born with a sinful nature and being led by that sinful nature to commit sin daily. But instead, those Jewish people thought that just because they were biological descendants of Abraham, whom God had chosen and to whom God had promised that the Savior of the world would be born through his descendants, they thought that just being an ethnic Jew meant that they were a permanent part of God's family, no matter what their spiritual condition was. And so we see Jesus patiently instructing them, "Everyone who keeps committing sin is a slave to sin." So Jesus is telling them that true freedom is to be delivered from the guilt, from the burden, and the controlling and enslaving power of sin. And Jesus didn't point to certain rules that they had to follow by which they could accomplish that freedom, but rather he pointed to himself as the one who would accomplish it for them. He said, "A slave does not remain in the family forever. A son does remain forever. So if the Son, Jesus, sets you free, you really will be free." Freedom from sin and death is the result of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. It's the result because the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God in hell is what sin deserves. But that is not the destiny of those who believe in Jesus. But as we read from John chapter 8, the Jews of Jesus' day did not want any of this. They were preoccupied with the things of this life, and the barrier of their pride prevented those words of good news and salvation from Jesus from entering into their hearts and changing their hearts and lives. And sadly, ever since that day, billions of other people from many races and nations throughout the world have joined together with them in answering no to Jesus' invitation to that full spiritual freedom that he provides. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul describes those who reject this invitation of Jesus, saying that they are always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. So we see that there is a problem of knowing the truth, but not acting on it, not acknowledging it. Verse 31 in our reading, the first verse of our reading, tells us that these Jews who were arguing with Jesus were actually Jews who had believed him. But think back to the parable that Jesus told about the sower and the seed. There was a sower, a farmer, who scattered the seed, and the seed fell on different types of soil. And there were some places where the seed fell where it sprang up, and the new plant began to grow. And Jesus explained that those are people who hear the word, and for a time they believe it and they are full of joy, but then something happens in life which chokes out the growth of their faith. And so even though they believe for a little while, later they fall away from faith in Jesus. And that seems to be the case with these Jews who were challenged in their belief in Jesus when Jesus' teaching started to go against their ethnic pride and against their cultural beliefs and their deeply held assumptions as a people. This temporary faith of theirs shows us that it's not enough to simply know the truth. We must also act upon the truth. That is, we must trust Jesus completely, being fully convinced of all the things that Jesus reveals in his word as trustworthy and true. Trusting fully and completely that because of Jesus, God is our loving Father, full of mercy and compassion for us, his children. And by God's grace, as we remember from our history lessons, this is what Martin Luther came to understand as he read God's word. Sometimes some parts of God's word for the first time that he had ever heard in his life while he was studying to become a priest. Yes, God is righteous and just, and he does threaten to punish all who disobey his commandments. But because of Jesus, who paid for all of our sins upon the cross, instead of punishing us and sentencing us to hell, God adopts us into his family forever as his sons and daughters, showering us with his blessings of love and forgiveness. We can trust in Jesus, who gave himself for us as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We can trust his word on any subject that he chooses to speak about. We can pray to God, our Heavenly Father, with full confidence that God will hear and will answer our prayers for our good, for Jesus' sake. We can be content with whatever we have in this life because we know that the treasure that God has prepared for us in heaven is far greater than any treasure of this earth. Our fear of punishment and of death are all swept away because of Jesus' sure promise for us. His promise that because I live, you also will live. Since we know that Jesus has paid for all of our sins, we have peace with God throughout our whole lives. This truth of God's love and forgiveness has indeed set us free from that bondage and slavery of sin. And what a blessing we have to be able to live and rejoice in this freedom together with our brothers and sisters in Christ here in our church family. Here in this family of believers, we don't need to pretend that we are perfect people. We don't need to hide and cover up our weaknesses and struggles and keep them secret from each other. Because we all come together here every Sunday morning and we openly, publicly confess our sins to God. We admit to God and to each other that we are not perfect, that we have disobeyed God's law and sinned against him, and perhaps we have also sinned against each other. We confess these sins to God and to each other, and then we hear that wonderful good news that God has forgiven our sins because Jesus has already fully paid for them on the cross. No shame, no guilt. We are God's children. We have been set free by Jesus. When we know and when we cherish that love and forgiveness of Jesus for ourselves, that makes us willing to release any hard feelings or any grudges that we might have against each other. If God has forgiven me, and if God has also forgiven my brother or sister in Jesus, why would I not also fully and freely forgive my brother or sister in Christ who has sinned against me? What a blessing it is to have this extended Christian family to be our support network throughout the challenges that we face in life. There's no judgment here within these walls. All of us have struggles. All of us are weak. All of us need the support of our brothers and sisters in Christ, our Christian family. Here we don't have to pretend that we have it all together in life. Rather, with confidence in the love and the support that our brothers and sisters in Christ have for us, we can be open and honest with each other about our struggles. Just as we also share with each other our joys and our blessings that God has given to us, we pray to God for each other about all of these things. We encourage and we build each other up with God's word. What a blessing it is to have this spiritual home, this Christian family, where we are truly free to be ourselves, because we know the truth, that Jesus has set us free from slavery to sin, free to serve him and free to serve each other with our whole lives. So let's live in this freedom and live out this freedom in our lives together as a family of believers.